What do we got here? Oh, that's right. It's the podcast.
I'll invest in Bitcoin. Use AI to tell me which investment to make.
That's a great idea.
Wow, these are kind of dumb right now.
Just dive in. This is cool. Greetings and welcome to a potentially useful From the Desk of the Director episode of the TCAP Sleep Podcast. My name is Larry Burden, and he's already back up for a second helping at the EdTech Buffet. It's Evan Obranovic. In today's episode, we'll talk trends and tips to leverage technology for enhancing student engagement, streamlining administrative tasks, and fostering a collaborative learning environment, or possibly just rambling incoherently for 20 minutes. After the always instructive TCAP Sleep moment of Zen. We shape clay into a pot, but it's the emptiness inside that holds whatever we want. Tao Te Ching. I don't think I pronounced that right. I looked it up and I still didn't pronounce it right. I'm very, very...
That's tricky. That would make me nervous every time.
You brought up a topic this week that we're going to tackle that you're in the thick of.
Correct.
So bring us up to speed on what you guys are working on.
Yeah. So I probably mentioned it before in many a podcast as we've talked about some of the fun things that we're hoping to get done. And this is one of them for sure. is looking at classroom management software. So those tools that for us as a Chromebook environment, the ability for a teacher to monitor, and then all these different tools have a multitude of like feature sets. So that's part of what we're exploring to see how we could better manage that workflow for the students and the staff in the classroom using all that technology. And so we look at this as aligning with our classroom AV kind of development. So we're looking at a big upgrade there. And as we started talking about it, it got brought up as a topic from that group and just other teachers who were involved that, you know, yes, the physical things are great and they want that update and standardization, but a lot of them have had experience or just seen the successes with classroom management. And so they're like, we'd love to like do that as well. And so fortunately, we were able to get our act together and say, yeah, why not? Let's see how many ones we can get in the pot and do a really kind of as thorough as we can evaluation of all those and hopefully make a decision to launch one for the entire district as early as next year.
Let's back up one second. What's the difference between learning management software and classroom management software?
I mean, learning and classroom, right? Those two words are the one difference.
Thanks for clarifying that. And the next question.
Moving on. No, so yeah, it's interesting. I think I was looking around at it too, just because I don't think everyone has the same definitions of these things. In our world, we look at the learning management software, the packages where they have an entire content kind of collection and delivery system for the students. So your things like a Google Classroom, Seesaw, we use D2L Brightspace, Schoology.
Don't we use all three of those?
Yeah. Schoology. I mean, there's a lot out there, right? And so those are pretty big and comprehensive. They have a lot of, again, same thing. They all have a lot of different features depending on the tool. So we're in that world. Most people got in that world during COVID because you're like, how am I delivering all this content digitally? Great. And then the classroom management piece, based on kind of how we're looking at it and defining it, is tools like a GoGuardian, a Bloxy, Securely Classroom is adjacent to our filter that we currently have. Hapara is one. And these are kind of just software tools that enable, like I said, the teacher to really look at, okay, all the students are in my class currently right now on a device, and I can and hopefully are walking around and monitoring them. But it's nice to have that extra feature set to sit at their computer or be working at their computer and also see in real time all what's happening on these Chromebooks, help guide that conversation a little bit. You know, you can push certain sites and make sure you restrict others. And then just the ease of use in terms of making sure everyone's on task moving forward and you can control what they might be doing. So you can use them all together. You might be using the classroom management software to make sure all your students are on the learning management software.
It seems like the learning management takes care of what they're learning digitally, and the classroom management software takes care of how.
It's a pretty good breakdown, I'd say.
Yeah.
Nice.
To me, the learning management software, I mean, we can go all the way back to Moodle. yep. has been around.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Don't go back to Moodle.
Please don't. Looks exactly the same. Yeah. Whereas the classroom management software seems like it's newer. To my remembering, when I was more in the technology department, a lot of this stuff was handled, if it was handled at all, was handled by business-oriented software or network-oriented, more like network admin-oriented software, if we could at all.
Correct. Yeah, and we still have pockets of that, like in your traditional computer labs that are stationary, right, and desktop computers and in a space. There has been products for a long time that help you do exactly what I described, kind of monitor what's happening, make sure everyone's on task, but just allow you that control to kind of help manage that. And with the introduction or influx of Chromebooks, now with those Chrome extensions, you can get a lot of things done and pushed out very easily to the students. And so that's what most of these platforms rely on. They have an extension that goes out onto every student's computer that they don't even really notice or realize is there. And that's what's feeding that information back and being like, okay, so there's what's happening on the screen. You can send messages. You know, like I said, they all have slightly different features. Send links for them to go to, actually lock them in on a page and say, we're just doing this, and not allow them to do anything, or say, you can only do these five sites for the next hour. So a lot of control that I think teachers, whether they realize it or not, everyone who's been messing with it, trialing it right now, has been like, this is incredible. So just finding the balance between maybe getting too involved with that, like the micromanaging of it. But I think in general, just to have that capability has been huge.
It's answering some questions that through COVID, because of how immersed we were in that environment, it was like, oh, we need this and this and this. And those business-oriented softwares weren't answering those questions anymore. It was square. We found out that that was a square peg that we were trying to fit in a round hole during that period. It's so great that we now have options that are targeted specifically for the education environment that work with our learning management software as well.
Learning management and just platform overall, right? So like Chromebooks are huge. And so the fact that all of these really are focused around, there's several that work with other Windows devices or even iPads. If you're going down that route, but mostly it's a very easy deployment on a Chromebook world. And so that's where it's really simple for us to kind of give it a shot and the teachers to see the value almost immediately.
So that leads me to my first question, which is, what are you looking for as you're going through it? What are you realizing? Oh, these are the features that are non-negotiable.
That's been a fun part of this conversation is we didn't have any hard needs besides, I guess, the idea of classroom management, for lack of a better term, because it's relatively new and people just enjoy the theory of it. They're like, it'd be really nice to maybe be able to see all my students here on the screen. And so that comes pretty standard. But with the groups that, you know, we've turned it into, it started with, oh, we're just going to do this with our pilot teachers who I mentioned before are doing like the other trials, the classroom. And we're like, well, we can expand this. So how about their entire building gets to use it? So we get a lot more feedback and they can play with it. And then we just went, how about the whole district? So we've just been doing that and breaking it out between different products at different schools. Giving it to them in order to trial has really shown that we didn't have any hard set ideas, but we're finding what we like and what we don't, which I think is going to bode well for making an actual informed decision here. Because we have, through the end of this year, with just about all of these different products we're trialing, for the teachers to just play with, break, I don't love this. And we're waiting to get that feedback. We're just kind of starting this trial and asking the teachers those very questions. Because for us, we have some, I think, high level needs or wants that we want. And in the classroom, I have some thoughts, but I really want to put it to those teachers, boots on the ground. What are you seeing? And do you love that? Or is this one really clunky? So I think at a higher level, it's really, is it easy for us to deploy as a tech department? Are we able to pass it out and get the access to the right people without a lot of steps? So far, it seems like most fall in that realm, which is great. Is it intuitive for the teacher? Part of this deployment as a pilot is we purposely didn't do a whole lot of legwork and kind of creating an exhaustive amount of training because we want the teachers to give us this, I could do this, I could figure it out. Here's a couple one pagers and is it easy or is it not? Now we'll support those who are really struggling, but we kind of laid that out at the beginning. We're just giving this to you and you have access. We want you to get in here and then tell us, like, oh man, like, yeah, it took me 2 weeks to even figure out how to do step one. And then, man, maybe that's not a great product. And then where I think it's totally up in the air is just what are those maybe unique features that you who are in the classroom every day are using all of a sudden and being like, this is amazing. Like, I didn't think I needed this, but I need this. And so that's starting to roll in. But like I said, we're kind of just in the thick of it. So I'm really excited to see, again, what are those? Because I don't really know. Like, I have some thoughts, but frankly, I don't even put them out in the universe because I just want their opinions on how they're going to do that or what works best for them.
So what have you found so far?
And what we found so far is just interesting. Is it doesn't matter what the tool is. They just love the concept of it. And so that's a good thing because it just means all of these are hitting the mark in that sense. They're like, this is incredible. I'm able to keep my kids far more on task. I'm closing these tabs. Like, I didn't realize how many times my entire class maybe had a second tab open that they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. And now, you know, I'm able to manage that 1,000 times better and keep focused. So we're hoping they'll probably see some just increased productivity because they're like, wow, yeah, it's easy when Johnny or Sally or whomever is not also watching Fortnite videos.
Sally. I know. So much.
It's, just try and keep it, you know, don't try and offend too many people. Evan, how about that? Evan, little Evan is way too distracted trying to watch YouTube videos on a constant clip when I'm trying to get him to do his spelling or do some research for a history project. That concept in general has just received an overwhelming amount of positivity. They're just like, where has this been all my life? So that's great. And then I think we're starting to identify a handful of features in terms of timing, you know, how they can set a certain amount of time for a class, websites they might be able to lock in as an entire set. Like I said, you can do these 5 sites for this whole class period and that's it. And so letting them dive into that, and we're just trying to find, okay, which ones are the non-negotiable? Which ones are nice to have and which ones are they saying, and they're toying with it and like, wow, this is cool, this is cool, and I'm looking forward to really get that comparison. Oh, I loved what Securely Classroom could do with, you know, grouping my students or putting them on. And Hapari doesn't have that. And that's a real struggle for me. And so I'm not sure where that's going to go, but I think we're going to find that they're going to pick one of them. That's what we know for sure, right? They're going to love one of them. And then it'll be really interesting to see kind of what the little ins and outs that really make or break everyone's final decisions. We'll never make everyone happy, but we'll do our best.
One of the interesting things I saw when taking a brief glance at some of these things is a lot of them focused on what happens outside the classroom, you know, actual parent tools for these devices. Is that something that you think is important, or is that like, we need to hold off on even looking at that aspect at this point? Because
so I think, yeah, that feeds into an overall kind of theme that we're evaluating, and probably not so much on the teacher side, though they would be involved, is just kind of student privacy and overall impact on monitoring them, and whether we're in the business of monitoring 24/7 outside of school or not. And most of these tools have the ability to lock in, whether it's geofencing time, meaning setting a schedule, or putting in the IP range of our network so that it literally will only work when the students and or the teacher are on our network. And we lean towards making those limitations. I don't know if we want to get in that business just yet. I think there's always got to be an element of that. And, you know, if they're using school district devices and we want to keep them safe and make sure they're making good decisions and monitoring that behavior, if it's a set it and forget it option, I think we'd explore it. But in terms of kind of an active piece that you have to kind of then manage, make sure the parents get their accounts and, okay, now you can set this up and here's some instructions on how to do it. There's certainly a need in like anything we're doing, right, for some sort of parent connection and communication, and we want those to be there. But again, we want it within reason for everyone, because we don't want the parents hopefully are talking to their students, right? And you know, we don't want to encourage just like, hey, you don't even have to look at them anymore. Send them in the other room, get on the Chromebook. You can send them a quick text message via this classroom management tool, make sure they're doing safe and go about your day and just wake up in the morning and never see their face. I don't want to be helpful in that. And I don't think any parents want that. So I'm saying the less we maybe provide the easy access for stuff like that, we can still say they're safe if they're using our device. You know, we're keeping certain controls on there. And then in the classroom, when a teacher has not 2 kids in their house, but 30 kids in their classroom, these kind of tools become pretty important to kind of keep things moving.
How much does this bleed into the network admin and district level filtering? Is this a replacement or is this
holding hands? Most of these tools come with or are adjacent to a filtering solution. So the easiest example is Securely, which is our current internet filter, has a product called Securely Classroom, which is one of our pilot vendors that we're using. And so it's doing both, but they're separate pieces, but they can work together. So the filtering is happening whether or not you're using the classroom management tool. And then as you layer the classroom management tool on top, it enables some extra flexibility on teachers being able to, we can give them certain permissions to open up things that we just generally have blocked for the safety of a student maybe doing something on their own, but in a controlled classroom environment. And you want to pull up certain videos or things that are vetted as an educator and you're a professional, you now can maybe say, okay, I'm going to bypass that for this class. Go ahead and everyone, I'm going to send you the URL or the link to this. You can open it up on your Chromebook now, or a lot of them really, you can click it and everyone's computer just opens up the screen like, oh, what is this? You're like, this is what we're talking about. Everyone take a look at your Chromebook right now. So they all pretty much relate together. And I think that'll be part. The teachers themselves, I don't think need to take the bandwidth to figure that out. So we're just going to get their opinions on that classroom management. And then what we'll do as a tech department is probably look really seriously at the filtering part and if we just need to jump in together with that, because we are in that evaluation cycle actually anyway right now to make that decision. So yeah.
Turns out, you know, student safety is kind of an important.
Well, and they just go together, right? So like, yeah. I said, it's like you're keeping them safe at a high level with the policies and the certain sites and topics that you know you just don't want them to navigate to, and making sure that, you know, we're compliant and all that.
What is your time frame?
So our trials all go through various points to the end of this school year. And then over the summer, we are in a natural evaluation of the filter and what we move towards. So there's the potential to have that decision once we get all the feedback from folks and look at trying to deploy it for this upcoming school year. And if we have to take into consideration things as we always do, like funding, because these cost money and it can be expensive, I think we'll definitely get the word from all our educators that the value is there, which is great. And so that'll just be something that we might have to look at. Do we just deploy the filter for the product that we know we're eventually going to then do the classroom management for and then add that in later? Because they're all very easy, at least from all the conversations I've had, to just be like, we can turn that on whenever. We can turn that off whenever. So great. So once we're ready and we can finally fully move forward, whether it's the very beginning of the year or maybe waiting and kind of launching it at a halfway point to let everything get settled, make sure the filter is all working correctly, that'll be the target. But we're hoping in the 24-25 school year to have something out there. And like I said, K-12, everyone who's been using it pretty much second grade and up has talked about it like a game changer.
When you were in the classroom and getting into ed tech, I got to think that in your head, this was what you were thinking it should be as far as managing your digital environment in your classroom.
Right. It's reaching closer to the vision, as you just kind of mentioned, that you had, much like we were just kind of rapping before about how AI is getting close to that vision of what you thought it was to just ask a computer to do something for you. Yeah, we're closer here to be like, so it'll be something that becomes pretty commonplace. I mean, with us, and I think you just hear so many districts are obviously moving in this direction. And so this is what it is. This is how it works. This is not the future. This is what we do now just to keep all this in control.
When you think about measuring whether or not this is successful or one of these tools are successful, are you already looking at what outcomes you might be looking at to measure?
We have not listed out some sort of core list with our users yet. But from our department standpoint, it's certainly like time on task, ease of use in terms of delivering everything that they're typically doing, whether they have a classroom management software or not. Are they feeling like it's more successful? Are we getting less calls at the help desk for kind of managing all of that? And then a higher usage rate, as we just said. So if I'm using this in conjunction with an LMS, and maybe I wasn't using the LMS all that much during the day, for a variety of reasons, but just the inability to ensure that everyone's kind of focused being one of them, this could be a major game changer in that. So I know that I'm putting content on Brightspace, Seesaw, Classroom, whatever, and I can do quick spot checks and or make sure everyone's locked into what that is and really making that screen time intentional. And so that's going to be a harder one to measure, but I think that's another big conversation. Like, we're not just getting on screens for the sake of it, and there's going to be a lot of metrics if we kind of use one with fidelity that we're going to be able to kind of monitor and take a look at and be like, yeah, this is really making a significant change.
What's the next step in this process?
The next step is to just continue to let the teachers dive in, get it out to as many who are interested. It's totally optional. From our end, we're testing what that deployment looks like. So that's where we're in the midst of right now. And then we have a couple different feedback forms for a midstream review as well as the end of the year. And so just getting as many people who are interested, playing with it, and then making sure that it doesn't just end at, this is cool, I love it, but giving us that real evidence and data. So yeah, it's just a lot of it now is the fun of letting teachers play with it. And rolling through the end of the year and then doing as much spot checking and kind of check in as we can to just get a feel for what's all going well and what's not and what we can do to make that work. I think the only thing we touched on, but that has been just something tried to keep top of mind, is also kind of the overall privacy concerns of what this is, right? It's a total monitoring software. And so we're trying to be very cognizant of that. And like I said, putting in those guardrails, I have no visions that many teachers want to spend their free time monitoring again, like what's happening after school. But when we can put in those natural guardrails anyway, and then confidently talk to the parents and those community and be like, this is for an educational purpose tool that happens during the school day, and making sure we're doing our due diligence, not just on what we're monitoring, but what is this actual company collecting in the long run too? So those could be some things that come out of left field, so to speak, as we dig deeper. It could be the best product ever, but if we have some serious kind of security or privacy concerns, then it might sway that decision probably much to the frustration of some, but I think we're going to find one regardless that's going to work for us. But that's probably the only other real consideration we have right now.
Awesome, awesome. Anything else?
That's all I got.
Excellent. Hey, I'm going to guess we don't have a tech tool of the week because this was the tech tool of the week.
This is I can give you one though. I always think of my tech tools though, like mine are never kind of as far reaching. Mine are what's built in. So the latest one I had that I just find super useful within the built-in Google world is the ability to add my schedule into Gmail. So that you can pick a time. I'm sorry, I can list all these times. It becomes interactive. You click on it, we can book a meeting. So that just rolls out naturally. It's built into the Compose Mail feature. And if you're a wannabe organized ADHD guy like myself, you're loving that because there's nothing worse than listing a paragraph of all your free times and then having someone come back with none of those times that you set on that list and say, what about this? And you're like starting all over again, as opposed to now there's literal buttons in your email that you're like, here are my times. And you're like, click on one, please. So the schedule finder, however they refer to it, but you're able to put your calendar into your Gmail is my awesome tool.
I love that tool. Hey, where can we find you online, Evan?
You can find me on the LinkedIns and just my name, Evan Obrenovic. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter. Still the same. Just keep it simple. It's my whole name. And still on Blue Sky. I don't see a lot of happening on Blue Sky, but hey. I think some of us are just praying that we can find a Twitter/X replacement. So yeah. I'm just reaching for anything else that'll work. Please be the one.
You've given up on Mastodon?
I've given up on Mastodon, yeah.
All right. You can find Two Gaps Loop on LinkedIn, Facebook, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Podbean, CastBox, Overcast, Bullhorn, or wherever else you get your ear candy. Thanks for listening and inspiring.
Ooh.
Smiths.
That could be a really good twist.
Yeah.